Welcome to the ESRI and the Science of Wear podcast. As the need to protect biodiversity and mitigate climate change grows, so does the demand for sustainable forestry. Globally, geospatial technology is helping to prevent deforestation while also supporting the need for innovative forest management. Scott McQueen, Senior Technology Officer at Forest Stewardship Council and President of the Board of Directors of World Forest ID, believes the forestry industry can strike a balance between profitability and resilience.
There are new ways of monetizing forests. So a lot of those smallholders, those family timber companies, are converting. They're selling it. It's getting developed into houses or other things. There's way more benefit to the environment, to biodiversity, and to humans than something that's been converted to a parking lot, quite honestly.
Scott McQueen explains to John Lenihan how location technology is ensuring the continued health of the world's forests.
Hi, Scott, and welcome to ESRI and the Science Aware podcast.
Hi, John.
So the forestry industry has obviously changed a lot in the last 30 years. Can you kind of shed any light on what you've seen in the industry?
In the forest industry, we've spent 30 years stripping out any transparency in the supply chain. You know, it was all about doing what it takes, getting a cheap product into the marketplace, meeting the demands of the consumer. So the consequence has been a lot of environmental degradation, and it's especially in other parts of the world. It's not quite as bad in the U.S. for sure, but governments and customers really don't want the environmental degradation aspects of it. And business also wants to be able to tell their story and move closer to the customer. And that's honestly what forest certification is about, is a way of helping the customer move closer to the business so they understand what the challenges from a forest management perspective are. And they also understand that the product that they're buying has not been greenwashed and is doing a good thing.
Some businesses claim to be taking measures towards sustainability when they aren't. They're not always doing what they say they're doing, or they aren't doing it to the degree they claim to be. That's kind of a way to describe greenwashing. So how does the Forest Stewardship Council prevent greenwashing?
Right now, the FSC is the gold standard in forest certification. You can see our symbol on paper products, wood products, tubifores and Lowe's. There's a whole slug of the FSC check. It's like a tree check mark for some of you may have seen it. As a matter of fact, Costco is one of our big customers. And anyone who shops at Costco, if you just look at the back of the receipt, it has an FSC check mark on it. What we're really trying to do is help those companies that are trying to do the right thing demand and command a higher price for their product than maybe ones that don't want you to know where they're coming from and are just shooting for, getting cheap things into the marketplace. So, and the fun part of it, for me at least, being a technologist, it was all about certification, and they have this whole process of certification, and it was very, it still is in a lot of ways, very time intensive, and it was very human intensive. Like, a lot of people had to go and visit. We have auditors, we have certification bodies, we have all that sort of stuff. But technology has really opened the door with a lot of tools to technology that's available right now. It bridges that gap. It lowers the entry point for a company to get into having its product certified and getting closer to their customers at the end of it.
Scott, we all know that the impacts from climate change are pushing a move to better manage the world's forests, often driven by public sentiment. How do you engage the private sector and businesses in this process?
Well, that is the question, right? Because at the end of the day, we need wood products to live in this world that we live in, and we need the forest to be healthy as well. So part of what we do at FSC is basically we help both the consumer and the forest management companies do a better job through forest certification. Of course, the way FSC certifies forests is by looking at the three major components. One is basically, are they doing the right things by the environment and by the forest? Are they harvesting and growing trees sustainably? The second part of it is the social aspects, which is how do we make sure that they are taking care of the indigenous people that may live in and around those forests, as well as taking care of the workers, which has always been an important part to me coming from deep blue collar roots. And then the last bit, of course, is economic. We have to make sure that we're doing this in a way that is economically feasible for both the customers, for the companies that are producing the forest products, and that the workers are getting paid appropriate wages.
And is the technology providing a way to both scale and improve accuracy and timeliness? Is that some of the ways that it's helping kind of move forward?
Right now, FSC has about 200 million hectares. So for us here in the US, that's about 400 and some odd million acres under forest certification. But we seem to have kind of bumped out. It's been more difficult for us to expand and get out and basically help the industry in a faster way, in a less expensive way, help certify forests in a way that is not so onerous for a timber company to participate in forest certification. And in particular, and this is a passion of mine, is helping out what we call the smallholder, those family forests that have been in business for, generations, but they're only harvesting maybe 1,000 acres or 1,500 acres. It's just honestly too expensive for them. So a lot of those smallholders, those family timber companies, are converting. They're selling it. It's getting developed into houses or other things. And there's nothing wrong with houses, but at the end of the day, 1,500 acres sustainably managed as a timber farm has way more benefit to the environment, to biodiversity, and to humans than something that's been converted to a parking lot, quite honestly.
Scott, that's a really good segue to some new technologies and new approaches that I think Forest Stewardship Council is heavily involved in that might help some of those small farmers. How do you georeference trees, and how is that being used from a technology perspective to really hold some of these bad players accountable in the market and hold everyone to the same standards?
I'm the president on the board of directors for a nonprofit called World Forest ID. And World Forest ID has about, I think we've got about 8 employees right now, but we have a network of people that we contract and pay to take tree samples around the globe. And the mission of World Forest ID is to create a geo-referenced database of tree samples from, like I said, around the entire globe. If we take a tree sample, let's say we take it in Finland, and that tree sample, we do a radioisotope test on it and we get results back. Radioisotopes are in the soil, they're in the water, they're in the immediate environment around a tree. But a plant grows, it has this uptake of minerals and isotopes from the soils and the rest of it. And you can tell trees that are grown around that tree will have a similar isotope signature. You have these isotopes that are a certain mix that come from where that tree was grown. That geo-referenced database has the location where the tree core was taken, and it has the actual physical core. And then we are also doing radioisotope and genetic testing on those tree cores, and creating this database that can be used to match, like, where is the plywood that somebody says is coming from, say, Finland? But basically, the chemistry says it's coming from somewhere else.
So World Forest ID, it has open access to the data. So how does that help the small players?
Well, so first of all, what it does is stops this timber, this mismarked timber from coming into the supply chain, which means the price of wood stays higher, and you're not competing with illegally harvested wood. So that's the probably the biggest advantage to the smallholders. It keeps the marketplace stable from a price perspective. They can say it's been It's part of the World Forest ID database, which means that it's been sustainably harvested and farmed when it hits the marketplace. So that allows them to actually ask a higher price for it. It's not been greenwashed, and you know where that wood came from. You know where the paper came from or the tuba for.
Yeah, it's that verification and validation kind of step.
Yeah.
So we've been talking a lot about wood for use of construction and in other kind of building situations, but rubber trees are also used for their sap. Can you tell me about working with Pirelli, one of the world's largest tire manufacturers, and how you supported their sustainable harvesting of rubber sap?
This is actually one of my favorite stories, because at the end of the day, it's about a business that understands increasing traceability is good for their business and what they're doing. But it's also about a clever business who understands that if they have a critical piece of their manufacturing process that they can't control, working closely with the farmers, helps them guarantee their supply of this raw product.
It provides that resiliency. We talk a lot about the idea of resilient business, and that's sustainability or resiliency of being able to deliver their product to market.
And rubber trees, latex trees, they grow in a very narrow band on the planet. And that band, it continues to be heavily impacted by the climate crisis and climate change in general. So Pirelli, basically what Pirelli did is say, listen, this is very important to us. How do we guarantee a supply of rubber so we can make our tires? So what Pirelli did is they came to FSC and they said, listen, here's what we're trying to do. Can you work with us? Can we set up some sort of mechanism where we see where this rubber is coming from in the supply chain? And let's work with these farmers to make sure they're getting top dollar, they're not getting cut out by a middleman, and that they are being treated right and that they're doing right by the environment around them. So FSC came down there, and it took a while to get things set up. But at the end of the day, with Pirelli's help, we have a reliable supply chain that is getting top dollar to the actual rubber tree farmers, cut out quite a few of the middlemen. I mean, there's still kind of a brokerage that we had to set up in there, but at least the brokerage is transparent. And Pirelli is guaranteed a rubber supply so they can make tires.
I assume Pirelli then also has a greater ability to influence the practices of the rubber tree plantations as well, correct?
Most of the rubber farmers are there. The rubber tree farmers are small organizations. They're small groups, and they may have just a handful of trees that they're working with. So it guarantees that those workers and those owners are getting top dollar for their product. And like you said, Pirelli's able to pay them top dollar and help them make sure that they're doing the right things by the environment.
So the EU has very strict environmental compliance laws for a whole host of products, but for companies, especially to sell their timber in Europe. Can you tell the listeners a little bit about those requirements and those laws and what they're asking of lumber and timber companies to comply with?
When you boil it all down, it comes to two main things. You must be able to prove where this tree product came from, where on the planet it came from. So no more can you just say, oh, it came from this area. You must be able to prove it. And typically they're proving it through records kept, supply chains, those sorts of things. But you can also prove it through this radioisotope testing that we're talking about with World Forest ID, some of the modeling. That's a little more maybe secondary to just good old mapping. But the other piece of it, which is a little more difficult, is and you must prove that it didn't cause deforestation and even harder, forest degradation, meaning that the harvest that happened to gather up this timber didn't was done legally, first of all, and then wasn't just cut and then maybe like I said, converted to a cattle ranch or something like that. That's deforestation. That's not sustainable timber management. And so how we've done that a lot is through remote sensing. That's what we're doing right now. It's a new requirement, and honestly, it's having a profound impact. And right now, remote sensing and satellite imagery is right at the core of it.
What's the future of the forest industry from your perspective, Scott, and FSC's role?
There are new ways of monetizing those forests. The carbon market will continue to bloom. Right now, the carbon market is a bit of the Wild West. And one of the things FSC is working on is, again, legitimizing carbon credits. There's a ton of different ways. I'm sure we've all read some article about how, carbon is a scheme and that a lot of it's you can't link it back to the forest that it's supposed to be representing. That has to get better, but that's another way of monetizing, leaving the forest standing. Another way is the idea of buying biodiversity credits claims in the same way that people are buying, large companies are might be buying carbon credits. Looking at biodiversity as another product that helps the world, helps the environment.
Well, Scott, thanks so much for joining me on the podcast. It's fascinating hearing what you're doing as part of the FSC and in collaboration with the World Forest ID. But maybe more importantly, thanks for your passion in this space. It's an understatement saying your efforts are critical for all of us moving forward. So thank you, and thanks for joining me today.
Yes, and thank you, John. And remember, everybody, look for the FSC check mark. Know where your paper comes from. Know where your wood comes from. It really does matter.
Thanks for listening to the Esri and the Science of Where podcast. And thanks to Scott McQueen for sharing the latest technology in sustainable forestry. If you like this episode, please share it with a colleague.